And we'll leave you with a song by Leonard Cohen, and it'll speak for itself, The Late Lamented.
When they poured across the border, I was cautioned to surrender. This I could not do. I took my gun and vanished. I have changed my name so often. I've lost my wife and children, but I've many friends. And some of them are with me. An old woman gave us shelter, kept us hidden in the garret. Then the soldiers came. She died without a whisper. There were three of us this morning. I'm the only one this evening, but I must go on. The frontiers are my prison. Oh, the wind is blowing. Through the graves the wind is blowing. Freedom soon will come. Then we'll come from shadow.
Les amants étaient chez moi, ils me disent signe-toi, mais je n'ai pas peur. J'ai repris mon âme. J'ai changé 100 fois de nom, j'ai perdu femme et enfant, mais j'ai tant d'amis. J'ai la France entière. Un vieil homme dans un grenier, où la nuit nous a cachés, les Allemands.
The graves, the wind is blowing. Freedom soon will come. Then we'll come from the shadow.
To your in makeshift uniforms peer into the misty light. And figures dart behind the trees as a snap of rifle rounds echoes out across the fields. Well, they hardly know their secret mother tongue. Yeah, but they recognize the duty to defend the flag hanging limp and bloody above the village church. Well, 1,000 miles away, in a warehouse complex down by the river, your money men play paintball games. Here comes the war! Here comes the war! Put out the lights on the age of reason! Tell us some of those great stories, and ones about serial killers. Their dreams flow into savage toys. Cheer the sirens screaming out across the city. We had 3 odd nights in succession. The riot season is here again. Dear Lord, lead us back to the valley of the shadow. Born in peaceful times. The whirling dervish spinning around faster, faster. The center cannot hold. Like a whirling dervish spinning, spinning faster. Ah, oh, the center cannot hold. On the age of reason. We'll be right back. get the jug, Gethsemane. And they broke your spirit there in the Marines. Flushed your head down inside the latrines. Frozen in the sacrament, derailed in your teens. Never saw the enemy. Oh, Gethsemane. And those bosses betrayed soon let you go. The fire in your eyes, how could they know?
And that was Richard Thompson with Gethsemane from his album Old Kit Bag, which I believe came out, what year? Now, 2003, I think, around that time, 2003, 2004. That was an anti-war song called Gethsemane. I call it an anti-war song. It's not from the album or anything. And right now you're just listening to myself, Jeff, subbing for the, substituting for the Davis Square Fools show, which is normally on this time, every Sunday from 1 to 2, I believe, maybe 1 to 3. I'm only going to be here from 1 to 2. And, I'm substituting because it's a holiday, January 1st, 2017, and, the students are still away, and I'm part of that community. Part of WMFO, which is again Tufts Freeform Community based commercial free radio at 91.5 FM. That's what you're listening to, and thanks for listening. You just heard the last show with Socialist Alternative Radio, and if the voice sounds familiar, that was me co-hosting that show with Tom, and now I'm just substituting for another show again, Davis Square Fools. They should be back in a couple weeks, two or three weeks, probably two. And until then, we're going to keep things rolling. We'll call ourselves the two wise men, although Davis Square wise men, although Tom might not participate in this part of the afternoon, the substituting for Davis Square Fools. I've listened to Davis Square Fools. I like their show. It's a good show. And for regular listeners of their show, they will be back again when the break is over, because we are emanating from Tufts University. You know, we have another name for ourselves. I don't think Tom even knows this. Tufts Educational Radio. So we're going to try to educate you with some good music. Ha! No, we hope you enjoy it. Entertainment. The education and the agitation and the organizing was the last 2 hours of programming. This hour, we hope you get some entertainment. But there is going to be a little message in some of these songs, including in this next one. Did you want to say something, Tom? Tom looks like he wants to say something. Hold on. Let's bring up his mic.
Public service.
Davis Square. Oh, yeah. Davis Square wise men. Jeff and Tom. And we're going to do a public service announcement here. Do you want to read one, Tom?
Sure.
There are just so many. Pick out. I usually tend to pick out the same ones, so I'll leave it to you to find a better one. And we'll play another song, and then we'll come back with a public service announcement. This is a song, speaking of loosely political in a way, certainly something that we come up against as organizers, talking about the last show, Socialist Alternative Radio. Something socialists come up against is sort of this idea of common sense, you know, the prevailing ideology, the arguments that's just the way it is, you know, that famous Bruce Hornsby song, just the way it is and all that, you know, arguments like that where people just don't bother to examine the obvious contradictions between the propaganda they're fed in the educational system or from the corporate media and the reality that they and other people face. So this is Leonard Cohen's famous attack at that, called Everybody Knows. Enjoy.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful. Give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet.
Everybody knows the scene is dead, but there's gonna be a meter on your bed that will disclose what everybody knows. And everybody knows that you're in trouble. Everybody knows what you've been through, from the bloody cross on top of Calvary to the beach in Malibu. Everybody knows it's coming upon. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes.
And that was Leonard Cohen with Everybody Knows, which I consider kind of a political song. You're listening to Davis Square Wise Men with Jeff and Tom, substituting for Davis Square Fools, the normal programming at this time, because it is a holiday. It is January 1st, 2017, and glad to see another year. And the student DJs are on break, so it's the community types like ourselves that are filling in, sometimes substituting. And we're substituting for David Square Fools just for an hour today. And that was Leonard Cohen with Everybody Knows from the Essential Leonard Cohen. And now we have a public service announcement.
A few facts about texting and driving. Fact number one, a texting driver is 23 times more likely to get into a crash than a non-texting driver. Fact number two, using a cell phone while driving, whether it's handheld or hands-free, delays a driver's reactions as much as having a blood alcohol concentration at the legal limit of 0.08%. Fact number three, distracted driving is now the number one killer of American teens. Fact number four, this has been a public safety message from StopTextStopRex.org and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Oh, he said, dear, I'm leaving right there in the hallway as the party rolled on all around. When I had wooden tongue, she couldn't look at him. In a whirlpool, she quietly drowned. She said to herself, I won't cry, I won't grieve, but I laugh and I flow with the wine. With a fast love of strangers, we sing sweet by and by. Days and old lines. How I wish I knew. All those outsiders are singing, such comfort they're bringing to a heart that's as empty as mine. Oh, the sweet words telling the way that you feel. Putting words to your story, all the pain and the glory. How can it be written so real? Oh, how I'm worse than you. Oh, those outside are singing, such comfort they're bringing to a heart that's as empty as mine. Oh, it hurts you so hard. There's a sweet by and bad, happy days and old lives. The sweet by and by, happy days and old lines.
And that was New Model Army with Great Expectations. Before that, Richard Thompson with Happy Days and Auld Lang Syne from his album, also the Old Kit Bag. We played a little of that before. And I got behind the curve here a little bit and didn't queue up some new music because that's the way we're going today. We're going old school with my personal collection of CDs. I'm making all of you listen to that stuff, which I hope you like because it's good stuff. We're going to go back to Green Day, who we visited earlier in the afternoon in another format. Again, this is Davis Square Wise Men, substituting for Davis Square Fools, who are on break. And please listen to Davis Square Fools when they come back. But right now, we're going to continue with our hour-long eclectic musical freeform. That's freeform is eclectic, basically, right? Our freeform countdown. It's not a countdown. Freeform. By the way, did you watch the ball drop yesterday, Tom? Tom says no. I was trying to watch the ball drop, but I was getting confused because we have like we didn't have regular TV for years, and now we have it because we bought a new TV and it's got the this, but it's got this rotten antenna and you can't really get the stations come in. They don't come in very well. So something weird was happening with the stations, but I finally got it on like ABC, and all the worst of American culture is on display. Basically, the synthetic pop music, the garish celebrity culture, and it's kind of gross, but I had a good time. We just did family, you know. I always make fruit punch on New Year's, no alcohol, so we had that and chocolate cake and toast of the New Year. My daughter fell asleep before midnight.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It was fun. Hey, your mic's not up, man. What are you going to say? What are you going to talk about? Talk. You have to talk while I queue up a new song here.
I just think you had fun with your family.
I did. What'd you do?
We watched a movie, kind of a bummer movie, but a great movie called Sweet Smell of Success.
Oh, great movie.
An old American movie from the 50s.
Let's talk about that for a second. Who directed that? Because we have to recommend that.
That was directed by somebody named Alexander McKendrick.
And who starred in it? Tony Curtis.
And Burt Lancaster. And Martin Milner.
Martin Milner, of all people, as a young, a cool jazz musician in the 50s.
And it also starred a great, it's one of those movies that actually was set in jazz clubs during the era in New York City when there were a lot of jazz clubs.
But it's really about PR. It's really about making or breaking stars. Burt Lancaster. Is that who it was?
Yes.
He plays J.D. Hunsaker.
Hunsaker. A monster.
Yeah. Back when print media was important. They had television, obviously, but print media was important, and Hunsaker.
And Tony Curtis played a publicist who was scrabbling for
column space from Hunsaker's make or break column. Yeah. I guess that's patterned after something real, like the New Yorker or something, and cultural column, like, you know, shows.
Yes, yes. And clubs. And I think the nearest equivalent to it today would be restaurant reviews because people get on.
No, I think it was more powerful then.
Well, it was much more powerful than restaurant reviews. But there is really no near equivalent
to
it today.
No, you're right. No one. Well, I don't know. Don't Broadway shows fall or not by New York Times reviews and stuff
that? It seems like almost everything gets reviewed positively, but they used to have some pretty nasty make or break comments. Yeah.
Well, in this case, I have to say more about the film because it's we haven't mentioned it yet, but it's a surprise. Because if you're used to the depictions of the 50s as being like 50s television, you know, like Doris Day and Leave It to Beaver and all that stuff. I'm probably conflating the
Father
50s with the
best.
60s. Yeah. This movie is a very cynical look at the 50s and American culture, but part of American culture. And what I really like about it is the cops are completely corrupt. Absolutely 110% corrupt. They're just basically hired thugs. And this would be around the time of Miranda rights, right? 1954, 55, around there?
I think the film came out in 57, but yes.
Yeah. Now, remember Miranda rights in time? You're the legal expert. But Miranda rights basically, and I'm going to come at it at an angle you're not used to hearing maybe, but, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Police departments, Miranda rights were, you have the right to remain silent, anything can be used against you, all that kind of stuff. That was kind of governing what happens to you when you're arrested. Guess what happened to you when you were arrested before the Miranda rights on a regular basis?
You were beaten to a pulp.
You were tortured. The police had the license to torture you to extract confessions. And they did it routinely. A lot of innocent people went to jail. Still do, actually, because Miranda rights are pretty superficial. But and they proved that in Chicago, they basically ignored Miranda rights for decades up until very recently, up until now, basically, in a lot of cases. So this film shows the cops in New York just coming on like hired thugs, man. I mean, it's unbelievable that you got that out in the 50s. I wonder what the reception was like in 1957 of that film.
I don't know, but the guy who played the head thug, it was an actor named Emil Meyer, and in that same year, he appeared in one of the great anti-war movies, Stanley Kubrick's Paths of Glory.
Which I never saw, to my shame.
Which is
good, right?
A tremendous film.
Well, he also did, obviously, that later one, just before he died, or soon before he died, with D'Onofrio and, you know, the famous one that everyone knows, anti-Vietnam War movie, Kubrick, Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket. Yeah,
which is a film that at first I didn't like, and it's every time I see it, I have new respect for it. I mean, the just because of its sensibility, I don't think it gets a lot of details about being a soldier, right? But the sensibility of how the troops felt, the absurdity of the war, I think is what comes through. Remember the end of that?
Well, my older brother, who is a Vietnam War veteran and was stationed there, told me that he never talked much about it.
Yeah, neither
until
did my
recently,
brother. Yep.
But he said that during training, basic training, especially bayonet training, they were ordered to scream "kill" every time they hit the dummy with the bayonet.
Right.
And he said it really had an impact on everyone. People really got fired up in a bad way.
Yeah.
And, you know, just... And now there are all these films like the 300 Spartans where skewering people and being absolutely brutal and glorifying the ancient world of battle is super popular.
Well, you've probably read about why this is not going to be news to some people, but I thought it was interesting when I first came across it. We're going to talk about two Vietnam War related things, I think, if we have time. One is what you just mentioned, the thing that your brother said about stab and yell kill. Apparently, somebody studied at some point between World War II and Vietnam, studied that in World War II, only about 25% of the troops or something like that ever fired their rifles. Like, and that was evidence of a larger problem that they'd studied psychologically, that problem, quote-unquote, people don't like to kill each other. Contrary to the myths of Darwinism, which are not real Darwinism, of survival of the fittest. Survival of the fittest means how you best adapt to the ecological system that you find yourself in. That's what survival of the fittest means as a species. It doesn't mean you kill each other. So so the idea that humans are just waiting around to kill other humans to survive is completely wrong. Humans are waiting around to mate with other humans and cooperate with other humans to survive. That's what really we like to do, by the way. So anyway, so this is a thing where we're taught now, we live in the most violent society probably ever in history. And we think of ourselves as good Americans and all that. This is the most violent freaking society ever in history. Chalk to the gill with nuclear weapons, et cetera, et cetera. I won't go into that so much, but that's what it is when you break it down. And like you say, Tom, I think it's getting more violent in a lot of ways. But the reason they did the kill thing, this is the point of the story, to get people to do it.
To get
so they couldn't get them to do it. And people still won't do it. People still won't
brainwash
it a lot of time. Brainwashing with that physical and that group
thing. That's what's shown Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, yeah, Full Metal Jacket completely shows that really well. But also Full Metal Jacket, getting back to that, was the absurdity of the whole thing. At the end, they're singing the Mickey Mouse song. And that bothered me when I first watched it. I realized that's perfect, man. You know, perfect to sing. Because there used to be a saying, you might remember this back in the 60s and 70s, such and such is Mickey Mouse. I remember my older brother saying that. Oh, that's fucking Mickey Mouse, or that's whatever, Mickey Mouse. And yeah, I remember that too. The other thing about the Vietnam War that I was going to mention real quick, and I forgot about it. I'm sorry. It was something else about the war. Oh, yeah, I remember. I've talked about this on the air before, but did you ever hear of a book called The Spitting Image by Jerry Lemke?
Is that about GIs being spat on?
Lemke is a Vietnam War vet, was in Vietnam, came back, became a professor at... in Worcester, I think I forget where. And maybe Holy Cross or something. I'd have to look him up. And I've corresponded with him a little bit. He's a nice guy. I read his book. The book is not that big. You could read it pretty quick. It's really worth reading. It's all about how that's a complete and total myth. That the troops being spit on by anti-war protesters never, ever happened. Never happened. He couldn't find one. And he would investigate it. If someone said it happened, he would go and interview them. No, it didn't really happen. Didn't really happen. Now, we're conditioned to think it happened. And he explains why in the book. It's a brilliant book. He says the New York Times, starting in the 80s, I think it was, started to write that. And you know how the corporate media works. If they have a story, they look back at their old files. Yeah, fake news, something new, right? The corporate media looks back at its old files when they're starting to write a story. So they repeat the same mistakes over and over again as if they were truth because they believe or they're taught to believe or it makes money for them to lie, basically, and tell the same lie over and over again. It never happened. Troops were never spit on by anti-war protesters, and Lemke's book documents that extremely well. In fact, I was giving him I wrote to one. The only reason we corresponded was, well, we have a mutual acquaintance, but also I wrote to him when I saw a reference to that in the New York Times, again, like in the 90s, after his book came out in the 2000s. I said, hey, Professor Lemke, here's like another example of what you wrote about. He goes, yeah, this pops up every once in a while, and thanks for sending it to me, you know. Complete myth. Complete myth. You know what my memory is in general of this whole rewriting of the Vietnam War? My memory is, as a child in the 70s, the troops came back pissed off and wrote a lot of books and articles against the war. In other words, the war tended to radicalize them. And it wasn't until much later, like a gap of 10 years, that in the 80s, along with Reagan and all that, you started to see the revisionism purposefully done come in. And you see, like, oh, we could have won if we just got... And it was true in films, too. Look at... I can't think of one decent Vietnam War film, really. I think by the time they started to make them, it was too late. And even during the war, Green Berets, remember that? That piece propaganda crap. I have stronger words for that. Then we went
to... Are you talking about films like that are basically fictional, but are telling to tell the truth?
Yes, I'm not talking about documentaries, because there are probably some good documentaries that came out right away that I don't know about. But I'm talking about like movies that an average person could go see. Platoon, Hamburger Hill, The Deer Hunter, the worst of them all, The Deer Hunter. If Michael Cimino was here right now, I'd punch him in the head as hard as I could. I don't care how old he is. You know, what an idiot. He writes a movie, he makes a movie where the Vietnamese are just like barbaric animals, when in reality it was the Americans that were doing that. The Russian Roulette never existed. Remember that movie?
I do.
Coming back and we all sing God Bless America.
Yeah.
That was a complete right-wing revisionism of the mood of the after the war and the war itself. I hated that film so much. But even films that I could stand, like Platoon or Hamburger Hill, they were still from the perspective of, gee, we could have won that. We were the best fighters.
There was one, remember the name of it, but it starred Sean Penn and Michael J. Fox. And
I remember that one too, but I'm not sure I saw it. I remember seeing it.
He Michael J. Fox becomes a whistleblower for a crime of horrendous.
So this would not be what I'm talking about. This is not revisionism.
This was one of the few, I think, that was.
Well, there's. Sorry to interrupt, but I realized my own thesis. There's a problem with that because there was the odd, like Born on the 4th of July, Coming Home. There were some against the war, obviously. But a lot at a certain point, like in the 80s, became rah-rah, the war. We could have won if we just were given the right support and all that, right. You know. Did you ever see The Quiet American?
Is that the one with John...
Fairly recent?
No, this is...
No, this is fairly recent with Michael Caine and some others. Really good film. Really good film.
Oh, that was from the Graham Greene...
Yes, yeah. But the film novel is quite good. I never read the novel. And of course... Full Metal Jacket, as we were talking about, is anti-war. Not in an obvious way, but it is, you know, anti-Vietnam War. I don't know. It's just like, I just feel like the weight of revisionist movies and especially articles and media and so on is just huge and ridiculous. And my brother was in the, he's passed away young, probably partially as a result of stuff from Vietnam, like exposure to Agent Orange and all that crap. But he mentioned, well, I just say real quick, this thing always still puzzles me, and I got to talk to my nephew someday about this, but he came back from the war, and he got screwed over in certain ways. He had a few interesting stories, if I can just say the headlines real quick. One is, he said, and this was apparently more common than we're led to believe, he had a general or colonel or somebody, the head of his, he was in the Marines, all volunteer now, Marines, and who basically didn't believe in the war and kept them out of the main fighting as much as possible. Would like send them somewhere to just march around for a while and camp out and just keep away from the main fighting. That's how unpopular it was, even to like an officer at the time. When they did have to engage, he had war stories that sounded kind of common to other wars, to the point where I would have liked to have questioned him more about it, but he didn't talk about it much. And those stories were like very few. I only remember it once, actually, one time where he talked about it. Like he almost stepped on a mine. That I believe totally. And he was like an inch from, he wrote that in a letter. But there was another one where he described like a charge. Didn't quite sound legit to me. I don't know what he was thinking of. But he didn't talk about it much at all. Different from what, you know, happens now, I guess. And that's also often associated with World War II vets, but at least he's a Vietnam War vet and didn't talk about it much. And then back in the like early 2000s, late 90s, I noticed him wearing a Vietnam vet hat when I would see him, and I didn't see him that much, a couple times a year. So I thought maybe he's now into it somehow, you know, like the revisionism affected his consciousness, and it probably did, but he still wasn't really talking about it much. And then when he passed away and I was asked to help write his obit, there were, I said, should I put in anything about the Marines and all that? And his son said, no, he's not really, he never really talked about that much. He's not really into that stuff, the way it was described to me. I said, okay, left it out completely.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry for your loss, Jeff.
Well, yeah, that was years ago, but he died way too young. He died like 59 or 58 or something like that. And, yeah, it's too bad. And,
there's one, Vietnam War film that still bears this test of time would be Apocalypse Now.
Well, again,
but I wanted with the proviso that almost a complete hour of the film was taken out for American release.
I saw the extended version,
and that was a part was highly political relative to what was coming out.
The French colonialists.
The French colonialists.
Yeah. But see, my thing with that film is I like it overall a lot, but it's in a sense it's like The Deer Hunter, and that a lot of it is just fantasy. Never happened that way. You know, there was as you know, it was based on The Heart of Darkness by Conrad, not based on, you know, testimonials and autobiographies or whatever about the Vietnam War. So I felt like it. So that's fine. But I think a lot of Americans see it as like, oh, that's what it was like. No, it wasn't like that. You didn't have warlords in the jungle. You had highly politicized and people fighting for their country and stuff. I mean, I still haven't seen a movie, have you, where the Vietnamese are actually human and explain why they're risking their lives and
fighting so bravely. Well, there was a little bit of it in the scene where the helicopters attack the village and the Vietnamese defend the village, and they're very well organized, and they're completely outgunned.
Yeah. That's interesting. You're right. That is a scene.
And there is also the scene at the beginning, basically, where they call in the jets to lay down the napalm and just incinerate everything. It's still mind-boggling, especially since those were the days when, if you wanted to show something like that, you couldn't rely on, the technology had to do with
actual...
Yeah,
they filmed in the jungle and blew things up, right?
Yeah, the technology of blowing stuff up.
Yeah. So we're going to go back to some music and then come back and say goodbye. We're going to, this song will speak for itself. And you're listening to Davis Square Wise Men, an ad hoc show, subbing for Davis Square Fools. And we wish Davis Square Fools the greatest of breaks. And they will be back in a couple weeks with their regular show. And we're going to go back to someone we played already. Enjoy.
Don't want a nation of judge. agenda. Now everybody do the propaganda and sing along to the edge of paranoia. Welcome to a new kind of tension all across the alien mission, where everything is meant to be okay. Don't think that dreams of tomorrow, where
Well, that song speaks. That's what's going on with my mic here. Okay, there we go. Sorry about that. That song speaks for itself. That's "American Idiot" by Green Day, and yeah, there you go. Playing a lot of Green Day today. We're gonna go out with a song that is kind of a theme song of the show. You might have heard earlier today. Socialist Alternative Radio from 11 to 1. Just a little plug for my regular show. Every Sunday, 11 to 1, Socialist Alternative Radio. Today, co-hosted by Tomrad. and we decided to stay over and do a little substituting for Davis Square Fools, who will be back in a couple weeks with their regular show. And we are dubbing ourselves Davis Square Wise Men. Just for this show. Remember that film where he goes, Training Day? Was it Training Day? Goes sees the wise men. I thought that was so funny. They were such idiots, you know. That film had two different endings, too. Did you ever see the alternative?
The ending that I saw was the community wreaking vengeance.
That was almost the ending. I think there's an ending where what happens to the gold or whatever it is that they're going for, the money or something. And at one ending, I don't remember this is a bad story, so I don't remember the two different endings. I remember one is that they're at his house, and it's ambivalent whether he's going to give back the money, and another one, something else happens. Oh, well, I love that movie. You know what's so interesting about Training Day? It came out right after 9/11. And so you had this whole country, you know, orchestrated by the corporate media to be totally jingoistic, everything American is great, flags on every lawn just about, on every stoop. And you came out with a movie, you know, true to its time prior to 9/11 of the anti-globalization protests and all that, of this venal, corrupt cop system in, what was it, Chicago? Is that where they were? L.A.? I can't remember which one. And with Denzel Washington playing Graham. Right. I mean, he is a great actor. He really is. And I like the other actor too, but I'm spacing on his name. You know, he's been in so much. He's a good actor too. That's my fault. I'm not going to look it up.
My fault too.
It'll come to me when we're done with the show. So, have you ever been on the radio before, Tom?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so there you go. You're a natural radio talent.
Thank you very much.
You are. No, it's just about talking. And we had one moment of dead air. That was totally my fault. That was in this show, not the last one.
Well, so down with dead air.
Down with dead air. Can't have dead air in the radio biz. So we'll go out now since I don't know how long the song is. Let's see, 3 minutes. Yeah, perfect. Okay, we're gonna go out with John Lennon's song "Imagine," And listen to it carefully. We really like it. It's really kind of the unofficial theme song, or one of them, of Socialist Alternative Radio, the previous show to this one. And again, here we are ending our substituting our brilliant hour of Freeform for the Davis Square Fools. And welcome back in a couple weeks, Davis Square
Fools
DJs. We're
just trying to give something back.
Give something back to the community, from the community to the community, in a symbiotic, circular relationship. So, so imagine you know this song, hopefully, and we're going to go out with this and have a great 2017. We'll be back with Socialist Alternative Radio in a couple weeks, and Davis Square Fools will be back at this time slot in a couple weeks. And enjoy.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to all.